As a scripture lesson, I've chosen to read from the book of Daniel, the second chapter, and there at verse 40. Daniel 2:40-43. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. As iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken or brittle. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That's Daniel 2:40-43. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at this time to thank you for the ways you bless us, for an opportunity to be here to study and to consider your word. We consider it a great treasure, the pattern for our lives. We are so mindful of those among us who are ill and afflicted and those who mourn. We know that we're living in the age in which death reigns and there is illness and disease. We do pray that you might relieve and as much as possible give freedom from pain for those who are suffering, and that you would also give your great comfort to those who mourn. Pray now as we open your word that we might have light and might have an understanding of what is before us. Use us to honor and glorify you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On the front cover of the Honest Truth, issue 10, we have the man image of Daniel 2 as it would probably look like in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, because this was just an image that was, or statue that was made about the same time. But the thing that you see is it was divided into four parts. The head of gold, which he said represented Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. The silver, the breast and arms, which represented Medo-Persia. And the belly and thighs of brass, representing the Grecian or Greek Empire. And the fourth is not named. It was the iron and clay. And so these represent empires that possess the dominion. And this is a thing that we repeat over and over because this is absolutely necessary. To be counted in the image of Nebuchadnezzar, they had to have possessed the entire dominion. That is, the land from the Nile to the Euphrates. The land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and later promised to Israel as being the dominion. So that will be always the test for an empire to be named, a Gentile empire to be named, is whether it possessed all of that territory. And we know that the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the Greek empires possessed all of the land that was in the dominion. The question I have today is Rome in the image? And we were taught that the fourth part of the image was the Roman Empire. And I know many of our fellow ministers, fellow Church of God people today, and the Christadelphians and many others, believe that Rome fits that fourth part. The thing that we always bring out, that it says that it was the two legs. These are not specifically called two legs. We know that the man in the image had two eyes, two ears, two arms, and two legs, two thighs, and so on. But that emphasis is not made there. on the in the scriptures as to what they are. We were taught that the two legs were either Eastern or Western Roman Empire, or they were pagan and papal Rome, and also that the image represents a continuous history from then till now. I showed you the chart from Brother French of Australia, where he has a continuous history from Nebuchadnezzar till now. No gap, whatever. And so as a result, the problem that comes about from trying to pin this fourth empire on Rome is that there are problems. One of the things that I see completely wrong with it is that it causes the followers who believe in the Roman interpretation to keep their eyes on the wrong theater of history. Because to them, it's Europe. And it's the wrong theater, it's the wrong continent that is being picked. And so this is a problem. When I was a child, they talked about the papal Antichrist. The Pope was the Antichrist. In fact, I've even heard that through some of our people, in fact, it's even been in some of our literature, that they say that the Pope's mitre has 666 written on it. Oh, I've researched this greatly, and there's no such thing. They want it to be on there because they believe it's he is the problem. But my whole idea on that is that the Protestant view, this is a Protestant view, because back through history, the biggest enemy of the Protestant church was the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. But we are living right now in a day when the Roman Church is kind of in a twilight. They have been sued so many times over sexual abuse by priests and other problems. Still, they're not the power they used to be. And I think as time goes on, they will be less powerful. It is true that the Roman Church killed multitudes, but so did the Protestants when they were in power. So really, it's hard to pin it on it. The thing that I started to mention here was in regard to the empire being Roman Empire being the fourth part of the image. One of the problems is that then we have to say, well, what's in Europe that we should be watching? One of our local ministers believes, has preached that the European Common Market was the problem. And at one time, there were 10 nations in the European Common Market. Today, there are 27. So in other words, if the nations in the European Common Market are the toes, it may have started out with 10, but that image has 27 toes now. It's a very odd image with 27 toes. So this is a problem. And they had to have exactly 10 members to go with the 10 toes. I keep hearing it over and over again that there is a supercomputer somewhere in Europe that is fueling the mark of the beast. And people, at the last I heard, it was in Germany. But they keep working on that angle. But see, all of this is taking place in Europe. And this is the wrong theater of the world's history, the wrong continent. Another thing that our people have spent a lot of time with is they want to throw Russia into the mix. And there's a well-known book in the Church of God literature about Russia, the destiny of Russia. And they take the 38th of Ezekiel, and they talk about Gog, the land of Magog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, prophesy against him. And one of the things that they see in the studying of the scriptures is that chief prince here is from the Hebrew word rosh. And they say, well, doesn't this sound like Russia? Yeah, it may sound like it, but cat may sound like hat or bat or rat, but it's not. So all Rosh means is head. And in fact, in Genesis is called Bereshith, because it's the first or the top of the books. This word Rosh is used of Israel as much as is used of any nation in the book of, in the Hebrew scriptures. So it doesn't refer to Russia. I don't really think that Russia has much to do with it, because it's not in the land, in the area that counts it in the great portions that are in prophecy. When I have studied this through the years, I have a very large Church of God library, Christadelphian library, other library on prophecy, and where this Roman interpretation is given, I have to admit it pretty well bores me to death. One of the famous books is Elpis Israel. It means the hope of Israel, and it was written by Dr. John Thomas, who was considered to be instrumental in forming the Christadelphian Church, which is a sister church of ours. And on page 326 of that book, he names the 10 toes: Belgium, France, Spain, Portugal, Naples, Sardinia, Greece, Hungary, Lombardy, and Bavaria. In other words, to him, when he was writing this and identifying the 10 toes in this Roman image in Europe, he came up with these 10. Some of them, how often do you hear about Sardinia, and how important is Portugal and Lombardy? Bavaria, what if we didn't have BMWs, you wouldn't hear much about Bavaria either. This doesn't impress me at all as far as this list is concerned. I think he was sincere, and his book on Elpis Israel is wonderful on the doctrines of the Bible. But I don't think we need to pay much attention to him here. Along with this, there is an exercise in taking the days that are mentioned in the book of Daniel and making them years. This is what we call the day for a year theory. We'll get into this a lot more when we get talking about the 70 weeks in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. But there's no place in Scripture that justifies taking any time measure and making days into years. The only time it was done in Scripture is when the spies went into the land and searched the land for 40 days and brought back the evil report. God said, for your 40 days, I'm going to give you 40 years in the wilderness. And so this is the only place that days and years were used, but it's not nowhere else in the Scriptures does it ever say, well, take these 2,520 days that are mentioned in my book, Daniel, and change them into years. There's no place that says that, or the 1,260 days, or anything. None of these are mentioned. They go back, people who do this, they go back in history and they try to pick out some little incident back in history that they can say, well, I'm going to tack the front end of this time period on that particular event or that particular time, and then I'm going to come up and get these days. Well, the place, if you remember history at all, William Miller was one of the most famous of all Bible students to take those days, change them to years, and pick out a year for the coming of Jesus Christ, 1844. And these are called the Millerites. Whenever you get into history and read about the Millerites, they're There are a lot of bad stories told about them, but one thing they did do, they gave away property and sold their property and brought all of their activities pretty much to a close because they figured the Lord was coming. But there is no physical record that they ever put on white robes and climbed on tops of houses and barns so they'd be closer to Jesus as he came. There's nothing to that extent. But nevertheless, it did cause a great stir. And there were thousands of people from all different churches in the United States that became Millerites. As far as we know, the Church of God was never directly associated with the Millerite movement. Although Joseph Marsh, who was an early Church of God publisher in Rochester, New York, was called a Millerite elder. There's no doubt that our people were attracted to this. In fact, Dr. John Thomas, who was alive at that particular time, didn't disagree with the using of these signs or these dates or days to be years. It's just that he didn't have the same starting and the same ending as William Miller had. So anyway, there's no justification in the Scripture for making days into years in the book of Daniel. In fact, I can tell you that every time measure based on this theory has run out. In other words, you can take it all you want. You can go into Daniel, take the decrees, the order to go forth and build Jerusalem and so forth. These all ran out a long time ago. They just can't mean what these people say. So I've kind of run by you what Church of God people and Christadelphians, others who have studied Scripture and who believe in the Roman interpretation believe and where they get it. But I like also to talk about why I do not see Rome in the image. The first of these was they did not possess the whole dominion. In fact, if you take your honest truth that I gave you, go over to the page where you have the maps over on page 11, it shows that the Roman Empire went over and touched the Euphrates up at the top. It did not go down in the Tigris and the Euphrates, but just touched. Haran is up there in that little kind of crook of the Euphrates. But that's as far as the Roman Empire went. So when you look at the Babylonian and the Persian and the Greek, on the page before that, you see that they did go all the way from Nile to Euphrates. And then you get on down to the Arabian Empire, and you see that it definitely possessed all of the land and even more than some of these empires before it. But the Roman Empire, from all the maps and the atlases that I have not been able to find anything that shows Rome possessing all of the dominion. In other words, she did not go down into the Nile, and that is into the Euphrates River Valley. This is the land that's named in Genesis 15 when God was talking to Abram. He said, I will give you all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. But then he actually names what it was. Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. That was the extent of the land. Israel has never possessed it in its history, but it will sometime possess that particular area. In other words, that's going to be the location of the kingdom of God, from Nile to Euphrates, the entire dominion. But this is the first reason I'm giving why Rome was not in the image, that it did not possess the dominion. Also, there is no continuous history from Greece to Rome. In other words, if we're looking at this image and we're seeing it proceed from Babylonian to Medo-Persian to Greek and then to the fourth part, it looks as though it were continuous, but it was not. Because there is no continuous history from Greece to Rome. We mentioned last week the Hasmonean dynasty. This was the Maccabees. And this is the book of Maccabees in the Apocrypha is the history of that particular time, the Hasmonean dynasty. And it lasted from 168 to 63 B.C. So over 100 years, Judas Maccabeus and his people, the Hasmoneans, possessed the dominion, the portion of the dominion which is now Israel, and they just could not, Rome just did not progress just seamlessly from Greek to Rome. So there was not a continuous history. So this gives us the reason to see why, as we will try to develop next year, week, the fact that even though the Arabian Empire was separated by several hundred years from the Greek, we give included in the image because it possessed the dominion. And it was not a continuous history. There is a problem with this idea of the fourth part being Rome. If the two legs represent the division of the Roman Empire, where is the united Roman Empire? There was a time when the Roman Empire was united under kings, and when it was a republic, and when they had emperors. But if you're taking the image and saying, well, there are two legs, like in H.A. Ironside's vision of the image, where was the Roman Empire ever united? And if there is to be a revival of the Roman Empire, which leg will be revived? The Eastern or the Western? The pagan or the papal? In fact, someone has said, well, will you have the Pope rule over the Muslims? Will you have the Muslims rule over the Catholics? And rule over the Greek Orthodox? That just can't be. It's a problem that there's no solution to if you're trying to make the two legs and the feet and toes the Roman revived Roman Empire. It's just not going to be revived. To us, the two legs no more suggest a division into two than the two ears, the two eyes, or the two arms, or the two thighs. In the scripture lesson that we read for you, the word division does not occur till you get over to the 41st verse. And it says, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Not mentioned as divided in the thighs, not divided in the legs, but divided in the feet and toes, in the latter end of this fourth great empire. So one of the things that we will see and are seeing today is that division is one of the characteristics of the fourth empire, is that they are of iron and clay, but iron and clay don't mix. Iron and clay do not cling to each other. And therefore, there is division in the fourth empire. And we see this especially true in the Arab Empire. Think of what is going on today in Iraq. Factions, fighting factions, blowing each other up and killing each other. Same is true in all of the Arab and Middle Eastern countries, Egypt, and all of them. They all have the trouble between the militant divisions and those that we consider that are considered more peaceful. So, as we're looking at this image and asking the question, "Is it Rome?" we feel that there are just too many arguments, too many reasons, too many the different details of the image that just do not point to Rome. To me, it's dangerous to be looking for a revival of the Roman Empire, because it takes our eyes off of the real area of the where this is going to take place, and that is Israel and Jerusalem in the Middle East. To me, that's very dangerous, because people are looking for the wrong thing. They have their eyes on the wrong area, and they're not seeing what is taking place in that particular part. As far as we can see, and this was so well brought out in Honest Truth articles by Harry Whitaker and J.W. McLean, is that the only empire that seems to fit the prophecy of the fourth part of the image is that of the Arabian Empire, which was larger and lasted longer than any of these empires before it. And we will, the Lord willing, consider the Arabian Empire next. Thank you for your time, and to be continued.